Welcome to the Diary of a Daddy-O podcast, brought to you by myself, David Powell. On this podcast, I'll be talking to a number of daddy-os who are trying to juggle their respective jobs and ever-growing duties as a father. We will be discussing the ups, the downs, and everything in between. We want you to come along on the ride with us. So without further ado, welcome to the Diary of a Daddy-O.
This is a diary pod about how work routines flip, turn upside down, and we'd like to take a second to let you know how we juggle being a dad while being a CEO. Daddy-o.
Okay, so welcome back to the Diary of a Daddy-o. It is episode 2 of series 2. I'm joined by Ollie the Kirsch, as he likes to go by. Got to kick things off. You have the playground. Tell us about yourself, your child, your situation, your work life. The floor is yours, mate.
Ollie the Kirsch was thrust upon me, actually. For anyone that doesn't know, Dave and I are regulars on a Man City podcast. And yeah, that one of the boys misheard and thought I'd referred to myself as Ollie the Kirsch when I said Oliver Kirsch, and apparently it's stuck. So yeah, my ego is not that big. Yes, what do I do? So a bit about my life then, I guess. I founded I'll go back a little bit more. I have been in cybersecurity for quite a few years, and just coming up to a year ago, so it was in March 2023 when our baby was 6 months old, I did the sensible thing that every new dad should do and completely took away all kind of financial and job stability, left work and went and started up Finch Cyber. So what's Finch? We protect people. We're on the people arm of cybersecurity. So we help people to protect themselves at home and at work from most common, of course, phishing, but also, you know, identity theft, extortion, etc. And we work with businesses to help them promote better cybersecurity culture at the workplace, including, you know, protecting people all the way from end to end of the organization, all the way up to the senior leadership team. So yeah, it's been a bit of a journey really over the last, I think we're about 10 months now, 10 months coming up to 11, and it's brought unique pressures. You know, I think, Dave, some of the people that you've had on the podcast are kind of more established within their businesses. We're still very much new.
I guess so, yeah, in terms of like length of business and length of work within a business, definitely a little bit longer than you have with Finch. What was your scenario like when your baby was born? So, you said six months in, you decided to go solo. When your wife was pregnant and then had your first child, what was your work life like then? Were you in an office 9 to 5? What was your situation?
No, so the company's based back down south, so I was working remotely. And to be honest, it was good. It was comfortable, right? And I think when you've got a newborn, that's all you can ask for. The work was good. The salary was good. I was working remotely. They didn't even have an office locally in Manchester. There was some travel occasionally, but I was mainly working from home, which was great because we could really split the load. You know, obviously my wife was on maternity leave, and it was working quite nicely. And when I tell people this, they say, well, what were you thinking leaving, going and starting something up? But no, back then it worked well. You know, I had the 9 to 5 commitment still. I had to always be switched on, always be available. But it was in a good, you know, I was in a good place. It wasn't a case of, you know, going to the office 9 to 5 every day and having to leave them behind, which I think would have been quite painful. And to be honest, if I was in that kind of situation, I probably would have left work sooner than I did. But certainly for the first few months, it worked quite nicely.
So how... I guess maybe, is that one of the reasons why you think you went self-employed, is that actually your setup when the baby first came was quite comfortable and it felt like a smoother transition into being like, well, if I'm at home working anyway, things are going quite well in terms of balancing, like you said, with your wife being on maternity and you working, that it felt natural for you if you were ever thinking of going self-employed to just do it there and then?
because it wasn't such a massive transition, I guess, from a lot of people working 9 to 5 in an office and then suddenly just go, right, I'm going to go self-employed and work from home 5 days a week, unless you're doing training like you do with companies.
Kind of. I think the fact that it was, it wasn't increased freedom or anything like that really that drove it. The first and foremost was, of course, that I had a particular skill set that I believe could have been applied in a different way. Spotted a bit of a gap in the market. You know, those that know anything at all about cybersecurity will know the most common approach is technology, right? Firewalls, antivirus, for example, the most common ones, strict policies, GDPR compliance, etc., etc. And the people aspects of security is a bit of an afterthought, and that's where I work best. So there was the opportunity spotted, there was the market niche spotted. Could I have held on a little bit longer? Maybe, but I actually think having the baby spurred me on more. The fact I was comfortable was part of the problem in a sense, because, you know, I was putting a bit of money away every month for building up, so eventually she'll have, but I thought I can do better than this from a career perspective, as comfortable as it is. I would never have gone and got an office job for sure. I wouldn't have taken away the freedom that I did have, but the fact that it was comfortable and well paying but was okay. But I think having the baby thought, I can actually do better, I can be better, and in a few years off the back of this, I can enable myself to have more for her than I otherwise would have done in, you know, maybe a steady job.
So did you take, when you were in that job, did you take any time off on paternity, pre-baby, post-baby at all? Or did you just carry on going straight through?
I got a couple of weeks. I was given a couple of weeks off. But I think, as we all know, dads everywhere. What was it? The old Fathers for Justice movement. I sound like that at the moment. But no, paternity leave is horribly balanced with maternity leave.
Yeah.
You know, mums tend to get months and months. I think there's a few months statutory, a few months might be paid by the employer depending on the policy, but generally they're getting between 6 months and a year depending on the employer. Fellas, for us, it's like, what? Here's 2 weeks and we might pay you full wage, we might not.
Yeah, I think I've got everyone I've ever spoken to so far is, well, a lot of obviously self-employed in their own business, so they sort of need to get back and steer the ship. Or one friend, I think, got 6 months paid, which seems very, very rare for a male to get that in a company, especially at the level he was at. He got 6 months off paid, which is wonderful, I guess.
Yeah, no, that's mega. Listen, I understand the business challenges. Maternity leave, paternity leave, they present businesses with challenges. And I guess if they are removing one half of the equation with the time off they give to new dads, they are removing half of the business, you know, the operational risks in a sense. But it is tough. You know, it is really tough. As I said, I was fortunate enough to be in a place where I was working from home anyway, and I didn't miss that time. But you know, a lot of new dads don't have that privilege because they work in an office full time. They travel a lot. They work away. They might get 1 or 2 weeks off at best, and then they're back at it. And it's sad. I think it's something that we do definitely need to work on as a society. And I think home working does solve a lot of those problems, because you can still work and be around, you know, be around for mum, be around for baby. But definitely something that's really tough for men.
That's my next question, is how did you then deal with that first Monday back after the 2 weeks, in terms of going into your office and starting work? Did you close the door and say, I'm now busy 9 till 5? Or did you leave the door open and say, look, if you need me, or not even just if you need me, I want to come out and help at feeding times, nap times, nappy changing? What was your balance like with your missus and baby at that point?
It was needs must, really. There were times, obviously, when the door was shut and I'd be working for hours and hours. Part of what I do is intelligence investigations, and that's like rabbit hole work. That's music on, lights low and you're at it for hours and hours and hours. So sometimes not even getting up to eat, drink, or use the loo. So there were certainly times when it was, you know, door shut, absolute do not disturb mode. But generally, I tried to make myself available within reason, had the work commitments, etc. But you know, if there was really a need, then I was there. But we're also blessed because, you know, we don't live far from our parents, either of us. So they were around at times when we needed help. We both have siblings who are around when we needed help, the ones that are still around in Manchester. So, yeah, it was a mix. I don't feel, and this is a good thing, I don't feel that I missed any time in those first few, you know, crucial first few weeks. Between the home working, between making myself available when I could even during the working day, I feel like I got that holistic new dad experience, which is really nice and a really privileged thing to have.
Yeah, no, I'm fully with you on that one as well. So when we had Brody, I didn't really feel like I missed anything in those first like few weeks, and then even through till like he was born in November, through till January, I don't feel like I missed anything, which I was really happy with, to be honest with you, because it was a concern that I didn't want to miss the things, especially now when I look back and how much actually changes from a day to day or from a week to week. Like, I was always nervous about missing like a first step or a first word or something like that. I just didn't want it to happen. Unfortunately, I haven't really missed anything. I think I did miss the first one step, but I haven't missed him starting to walk. Which, like you said, it's fortunate people that are in that 9-to-5 and an office-based job would miss a lot of this stuff. And then, like, even like at the moment, Brody's now going to sleep at like 5:30, which is pretty early. But if I was in a 9-to-5 job and getting home from work at 5:30 and leaving early, I wouldn't even see him through Monday through Friday, which I wouldn't be able to handle that at all. Like, I just wouldn't feel comfortable going from Monday, like Sunday evening, putting him to bed, through till maybe Saturday morning, just not seeing your child. So it's trying to find that sort of like work balance that actually allows you to do that. But I'd understand that there's a lot of dads out there that probably wouldn't have that sort of privilege, I guess it's called. I would say call it privilege of having that.
Yeah, I think it is privilege because, you know, it's a mixture of circumstance. Sometimes just the way life's taken you. Some people won't be in a position, I guess, where they can just find remote work, depending on what they do, or go ahead and start up a business, again, depending on what they do. They might be in a supremely well-paying job and they might not want to go and start up a business. And at that point, they might be faced with the question of, do I want to keep this fantastically well-paying job that might keep me away from home for 2 months at a time?
Yeah.
Or, you know, and potentially secure the financial future of the newborn. But that does come at a cost, like you say, you know, potentially missing first steps, missing first words. So I don't think anyone should feel obligated to have to bend over backwards to find that kind of situation. But man, yeah, if you have it, it is a privilege and make the most of it.
On the last pod, Craig spoke quite a lot about ensuring he had two children. One was four, one was one. Four and one. How he had to try and ensure he kept his routine, and mentioned the word like selfishness at times, in terms of like he felt quite selfish trying to ensure that he had time for himself. So he carried on playing football because he's like, I needed to do something over a weekend where I didn't have people at work asking me for the responsibility. If I knew the answer, he wanted to turn up to football, not be dad and not be boss. He wanted something else. Was there anything that you wanted to keep, obviously, other than the stuff that I know, like going to Man City and doing the podcast, that you wanted to keep in your routine to make sure that you weren't just work and dad?
Boxing, I think, was my extracurricular. Really weirdly, and I don't know if it's like a hormonal thing or a sympathetic thing, when during the last 3 months of my wife's pregnancy, my weight shot up And I don't know why, but absolutely shot up. It was crazy. I think I was at the heaviest I'd ever been at that point. And almost immediately after the baby was born, it started to come down. But I realized that my fitness had been suffering, my health had been suffering a little bit. Not mentally. Mentally, I was in a great place, but physically, God, yeah, it suffered. And I've always trained in Muay Thai for a very long time, fairly casually. I wouldn't say as to be a fighter, but that's been my keep fit, you know, 2-3 times a week for a very, very long time. A lot of that kind of went by the wayside. So post-pregnancy for me was less about maintaining the extracurricular, but bringing it back. I think it suffered more in pregnancy than it did when baby was born. And then obviously, as you know, that culminated in a white collar bout a couple of months ago. So that was, you know, a good 5-6 months of training. And within that 18 months, I've kind of gone from the heaviest and most unfit I've ever been to the fittest and lightest I've ever been now. So yeah, I think the extracurricular stuff, health focus, if possible, whether it's mental health or physical health, that's big.
I imagine that's pretty different to most dads out there in terms of, like, you felt the effects pre-baby rather than post-baby. I remember pre-Brody, I was hitting the gym every single day. I was doing runs every night. I was, like, trying to bank the fitness pre-baby because I knew, I expected as soon as Brody came that my time was going to be on short supply and that I wouldn't have the time to commit an hour to the gym or 30 minutes. Sorry, it's 30 minutes running, which is exactly what happened. Like, I've 1 year in now, my gym routine is probably still the worst it's been in like five years. Just due to not being able to get the balance right, really, in terms of like that routine. Obviously, going through the process of what happened with work and stuff and the transition probably didn't help. But I've still not got that routine back that I had pre-Brody.
I think it ties in with my motivations to have gone and started up a business, if I'm honest. I think everything I was doing before the baby was just kind of what I wanted to do or didn't do. And then obviously with the health thing, the pregnancy, you know, my wife's eating a lot because she needs a lot of calories for the two of them. And she's not, especially in the third trimester, moving, you know, getting out, moving around that much. So that summer when she had a third trimester, it was in the summer of 2020. Oh my God, I can't remember what year we're in now. It was the summer of 2022. And it was when we had that insane heat wave, that crazy, crazy heat wave. I think we hit like 40 degrees. So that last trimester, what we were doing, we were in all day together, whether working, whether it was the weekend, it was that horrendously hot. You know, we weren't really going out much, just trying to keep cool. My motivations for starting the business when the baby was born was to have something better for her when she grows up, to secure, you know, try and secure her future financially. And I think it's almost the same switch in my head with the fitness thing, to make sure that I'm fit, that I'm healthy, that I'm showing her good habits as she grows up, and obviously to be healthier, to be around longer. I think that those two things, the fitness motivations and the career motivations, changing around the time she was born, are definitely linked together.
It makes sense. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like I think, like, and I've had this conversation with a few people, is like, you've taken control of the things you 100% can control. That's your fitness, it's your work situation. When you're in a new scenario where you can't necessarily control how a baby acts, sleeps, everything else, so like, whether that's something in there that you've taken control of what you can control. Because if you were just in a situation where baby's going crazy, you're not able to control your fitness and your health and stuff, you possibly feel like everything's going wild.
Yeah, spot on.
Yeah, well, nailed it. Therapy session over. Your missus, so your baby's slightly older than mine, isn't it? You're a little bit ahead of me. Is your missus back at work? Did she go back to work? Is she still on maternity leave? Is she working at home, or what's the setup there?
So she left a job after maternity. They just couldn't come to an agreement about the home working, remote working split. Because, you know, similar to myself, at that point, post her maternity, I was well into getting Finch off the ground. But with Finch being a startup, not in a position to, you know, to be fair, she actually never wanted to leave work. She always wants to work and be busy and doing something, but maybe not full time. But Finch definitely isn't in that kind of position yet, where just say, hey, you know, go and do something part time, go and do what you want. So she left that and went to do something that allows her to work remotely. So yeah, she's still working. And she is busy. She likes routine, very much likes routine. So I think it's important to her that she's doing something productive. But the old job was in the office, and she was in the office up until maybe like 7-8 months. Pretty much until the summer hit, the heat wave hit, etc. She was in the office all the way. So, it just wasn't going to be suitable for what she wanted. And now it works nicely because we're both here, we're both around, we're both working full time from home.
Is it like an easy sort of teamwork duo in terms of looking after your baby in the day, or do you use nursery, grandparents? I know you said about like siblings as well. Was it easy to find that schedule, I guess, rather than routine? Or was there some difficulties? Yeah, it was.
Yeah. She goes to nursery twice a week. Parents usually in the afternoons. So her grandparents, our parents, to keep her busy.
Yeah.
Keep her stimulated, getting out the house, etc. It's just a big mix of those things. And the joy of the startup, and even though we are still in startup stage and still at that stage where I'm just working whatever the hell hours need to be worked, those whatever the hell hours are still the hours I want to work. They can be molded. So, you know, if there's a quiet Friday afternoon, might take her swimming, might go out for lunch, whatever it is. And that's an absolute pleasure. So, you know, between grandparents, nursery, the hours that I get free, the hours my wife gets free, we've got a good schedule going on, bit of a mix and keeping her busy.
I texted you yesterday, didn't I, saying trying to arrange this podcast, and you said you were walking into a music class at about 10, was it 10 a.m. yesterday morning?
About 9:30, yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, that's absolute proof of the sort of the daddy-o status, that you're able to just do that. That not everyone has that privilege, like we said earlier.
Yeah, it's a lot of pressure, it's a lot of stress, it's a lot of financial stress. But even in the very first days, weeks, months of starting a new business, there are immense benefits to be found. And that is those things. You know, usually mum does those daytime classes. But if I don't have anything particular in the calendar and I can find an extra 30 minutes an hour elsewhere, then yeah, I'll go with, for sure. Or take her out for an hour, or we might go out for lunch, you know, me and the wife, when baby's at nursery. And these are the little benefits, the little freedoms that make huge, 30 minutes to an hour here and there that you wouldn't otherwise have had, are the ones that have made the biggest impact on the work-life balance. It's fine working on client delivery deep into the night, because that's what you've got to do with a startup when you don't have an entire delivery team with you. But the other side of that is that those hours where you are working on client work deep into the night, the very next day you might have an hour spare somewhere that you can go and do something nice with the family.
It's interesting, like you say that, in terms of like working deep into night, it's the exact opposite to what Craig said on podcast one. And I sort of agreed with as well, that I was like, I don't think in the early days of 3 or 4 Clothing, when I used to work quite late at night, that sort of entrepreneurial drive, I don't think I could have done that while having Brody, just because I don't think I had my balance and my sort of schedule in order enough to allow me to be doing that. But then you're on the other side and think you can do it because you've got that sort of balance in the day with your wife and grandparents and stuff where you feel comfortable. It's interesting. My next question was leading on to a little bit again about your sort of personal life. Do you have anything set in stone? Do you have any sort of best practices in terms of making sure that you have time with your wife away from being mom and dad? It's something that quite a few people say, like, before you have a baby, just make sure you don't lose that sort of relationship you had. So you were best friends, you were husband and wife, and then you obviously become mum and dad, and you don't want to just stay mum and dad. So do you have anything in place? Have you been away together in the first year, or what do you do?
We've not been away. We have been away, but with the baby. Been away, just the two of us yet. There are plans afoot. I think it's something we want to do over the next 12 months, definitely. But I don't think we've really struggled to do that, to be honest, because babies slept very, very well from an early age. I think from about 12 weeks, she was sleeping through. Hours vary, of course. But she was sleeping through from, you know, we generally try and get her down at 7-ish, 7:30. And that means that we do have our evenings. And then, as I said as well, the little touches during the day. So, you know, for example, if she goes to nursery, we'll go out for lunch together. Sometimes we might go to the gym together, go for a swim together, whatever it is, Trafford Centre for an hour, that kind of thing. So when we both have the time, and when baby is asleep or at nursery, we'll find stuff to do. So I think we'll maintain that fairly well. But holidays, definitely on the list.
I can 100% vouch what you've just said there. So, like, Brody was never a really bad sleeper, but he wasn't someone who could sleep through the night, and he had a lot of like assistance in terms of going back to sleep. So we never had the confidence of saying we can go out at 8 o'clock for a meal and he's with a grandparent or whatever, because we'd be concerned that they wouldn't be able to get him back to sleep, and the knock-on effect would be, as everyone knows, really bad for the next day.
Yeah.
The past couple of weeks, he started sleeping through in the evening really well. And I've seen a change in myself and Jess, is that we actually feel confident now, already making plans to be like, well, actually, we can go out for that meal at 7:30 or book that concert, because we're confident. Things will obviously change and unravel and everything else, but we feel confident now that he will get back to being able to sleep through from X till X without having loads of meltdowns. And whoever's babysitting him at the time doesn't know those little nuances to get him back to sleep. That's not really a worry anymore. And it's good. It's good that we can actually make plans together rather than before, because we were struggling. Like, we went away a couple of times for a night for like my birthday or Jess's birthday. But we spent the whole night worrying about, is he sleeping, watching the camera and stuff like that. And it's like, it's not really a night away. It's actually probably more stressful and doing more harm than actually just being at home with him, if that makes sense.
The Diary of a Daddy-O is proudly part of Lid the Group family and is sponsored by Lid Project, your plug-in sales and marketing team, founded by brand owners for brand owners.
Yeah. Sleep is the hardest challenge by a mile, because it's not something you can really control. It's not something that has an alternative. You know, if they're crying, then, or they're just grumpy, then they might want the dummy, or they might want to watch Miss Rachel or something else on YouTube. You can solve a crying problem.
Yeah.
If they're refusing their food, assuming they're not ill, you can offer them something else, or offer them their favorite food or whatever it is. That's a solvable problem. All of these things that are difficult have their solutions, have their workarounds, because babies, while they're funny little things, they are fairly predictable in some ways. If they're crying, you get to learn what they want. If they're not eating the food, you get to know what they do like. If you know, even if they are ill, right? You go and get the Calpol, you go and get the Nurofen, soothe them, whatever it is. The only thing you just really cannot control, and there is no alternative to, is the sleep.
Yeah,
that is going to dictate. Ultimately going to dictate your life, dictate your schedule, dictate the time that you get together. and I'm afraid it's pretty much luck of the draw. There's no silver bullet here, right? It could be after 12 weeks, it could be after 6 months. You get regression periods, you get the teething periods. We all are at the mercy of baby's sleep schedules.
Absolutely. Is there anything you would do, thinking back now, I might put you on the spot a little bit, was there anything you would do differently if there was a number two in the future than you guys did for number one? Because I've seen a few people post recently being like, oh, everything you learned for baby one, every hack that helped you just won't work for baby two. So you feel like you've got all these things that are going to make number two a lot easier and then they don't work.
Probably would have started swaddling sooner.
Okay.
Because that actually did help the sleep. White noise as well. So we play white noise at night. Soft yeah. piano music, white noise, etc. That definitely helped. There's not really much other than that, because like you say, all these things that you do that you think, right, we've got it down now and next time it'll be easier, they're reactive. They're not really proactive. That changes baby to baby. Even babies when they're very, very young have their own little personalities. They become predictive in that you learn what they want and what helps them settle, what helps them eat, etc. But every one of them is different. And like you say, what works for baby number one probably isn't going to work for baby number two. it's just reactive. I think the only thing we'll find easier is spotting the signs of what they need. I think baby had a bit of reflux when she was young, and because we hadn't seen it before, it took us a while to figure that out and then give her some anti-reflux solution with the milk. Whereas now we might know the signs for reflux, for example, that weren't helping her sleeping sooner. But again, it's still reactive. You know, baby two might not have reflux. Baby two might have something else. So, yeah, it just spotting the signs really quicker. But I don't think there's any universal life hacks here.
No, not at all. Funny you should say that. It's time to give us your one hack that you're going to pass on to a future dad or a present dad that you think is worthwhile knowing.
Yeah. If one of you is nocturnal, use that. Really use that. So I'm a very nocturnal person, right? I can be up all hours. I've tempered it recently, but certainly for a very long time, I'm no stranger to seeing the smaller hours of the morning. Whereas my wife is completely the opposite. She's very early to bed, very early to rise. She'd rather do work in the morning. I'd rather do work in the evening, that kind of thing. And when baby was born, we used that. And it was amazing because she'd effectively be on duty, if you will, till about 9 o'clock. She'd go down, get her sleep till about 4 a.m. and I would be on duty until then. These are the hours when, you know, they're up constantly, the very, very first few weeks. But those first few weeks, the first 6 to 8 weeks, instead of us both being horrifically sleep deprived at the same time, it was just that one of us was sleep deprived at a time, so that we could have that split and one of us could be on the ball picking up the responsibilities while the other was soundly sleeping in bed. So if you and your partner do have very different sleep schedules, or one of you is comfortable shifting yours around, I would say do that. Instead of doing 10 p.m. is your 10 p.m. is your wake up, 11 p.m. is mine, midnight's yours, 1 o'clock's mine, and getting like broken up 1 hour sleep each. Try and get big blocks. Do long sentry duty and give each other a few hours sleep at a time.
I'm fully on board with that as well. We tried both. We tried the sort of, I'll do the 1 o'clock, you do the three, you do the five, and you struggle to get back to sleep, don't you? You're not getting that sort of rest that you need to then be your either back at work the next day. Whereas if you do those like stints, I think we were pretty much on the same schedule. I would do the late shift and then Jess would get up earlier in the morning, and it definitely does help. I posted out on the Daddy-O page yesterday, I think it was, saying one parent's on 10%, the other needs to be on 90%, which is absolutely true, because pre-Christmas this year, I think me and Jess, for a 2-week period when Brody was, he couldn't get past about 15, 20 minutes sleep at a time. He just kept full starting. We were both just, we were walking zombies. Like I felt almost like a bit extreme, but you almost feel like you're having an out of body experience when your sleep is that broken for that long.
Mm.
You just don't feel human.
Yeah.
And obviously it had to get fixed because we both couldn't function like that. Like it just wasn't sustainable. Final bit of the poddy is Craig asked a question for you.
So okay.
In true Diary of a CEO style, we're copying their little passing on of the question. His question was, when was the last time you slowed down and did something for yourself? So I guess that would mean maybe not the boxing, but slow down. He said his was he went to play chess with one of his closest mates. No phones, just a couple of beers. Went and played chess for a few hours. And he said it was one of his favorite memories of having his child. He said it was an opportunity just to come out of the mayhem, slow down, enjoy it, and then go back into like normal life. And if you haven't done it, he said use that as a prompt to go and arrange something and do it.
Last time I slowed down. So unplugging, really.
Yeah, essentially, yeah.
To be honest, I try and do it in a sense every week. When I go to the gym, sometimes I'll do just gym, sometimes gym and swim, sometimes, you know, sometimes what I'll do is if I need an unplug, I'll go for a very long swim. Mm-hmm. Phones away, phones not with me, on my own, just doing those lengths. Hitting those lengths, and all you've got in your ears is the water, like
mm-hmm.
nothing else. That I think is my slowdown. You know, getting the sauna afterwards, getting the steam room, just have an hour or so completely and utterly disconnected from everything. And it's weird because it's almost when you get out, it is almost like turning up the volume again. As soon as you walk out that door and your phone's back in your hand, you've got news notifications, you've got texts, you've got work emails, you've got the radio back on the way home, and it's crazy. It is like there is a volume knob on life when you come out of that swimming pool. But that's my unplug time. That's my disconnect time. And I try and keep that fairly regular.
I'm exactly the same. That is my same one for me. It's probably the only place where you physically can't have your phone because the water doesn't allow it. If I have my phone with me, I never feel completely relaxed. Whereas if you go for a swim, even a run sometimes, like your phone, you can see if it's on your iPhone or what, you're getting a notification or you still feel slightly plugged in, or I do anyway.
Yeah. You've got cars going past, you've got music and people. And I think a swim is like just ultimately your own world. And actually that's funny. That reminds me of something else I used to do, and I haven't done it in years and years and years, but I definitely recommend it to people. Isolation tanks. Have you ever done one?
No, never. No, no.
Do you know what they are?
No, I don't.
Wow. Fill me in. Okay. Go sensory on. Deprivation tanks. So I can recommend you to one, actually. There's one near me. I think there's a couple in town in Manchester as well. I'm sure there are some in Brum. It's a tank about 6 feet long, mm-hmm. about 5 feet wide. And it's soundproof, it's pitch black completely.
Right.
It's water, and okay. It's salt water, so you float. And the water is exactly body temperature. So you've got no sight, no sound, no touch, because obviously once your body reaches that equilibrium with the water, you can't feel the water because you're completely still. So the aim is to completely deprive all of your senses. Some people fall asleep. Some people have a bit of an out-of-body experience with it.
Wow.
Results may vary, but that is like the ultimate unplug because you are actually physically unplugging from every single bodily sense. So I'd recommend I've not done it in a very long time. Go on.
So you're floating, literally, like lay on water with a lid on top of you. So you're in case, or can you? Are you in like? I can't picture it.
Yeah.
I'm a celebrity thing where you're just in like a coffin of water and you just pitch black.
I mean, coffee makes it sound a bit dark, right? But yeah, effectively, yeah, kind of. Effectively, that's what it is. You are in a very small tank that is completely enclosed, soundproof, lightproof, everything, and you're just floating. You generally take about an hour in there.
Well,
do you know, the most common thing is that you end up, you know, when you're in that weird dozing state between sleep and wake, mm-hmm. that's where you end up. It's really, really weird, but it's a crazy, crazy experience for like mental, for a cleanup mentally.
Wow. How much does it cost to do these?
Pass. Again, I've not been in years. If I remember rightly, it was about 15, 20 quid an hour, but I don't think I've done it since pre-COVID.
Well, I'll definitely have a look into that.
Yeah, crazy. Very cool.
We'll leave it there. The final thing is, if you can think of one quickly, question for the next guest.
Question for the next guest. Are they a walker or a talker?
Walker or a talker.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, cool. I will ask that on the next poddy. I appreciate you coming on, mate. And I'll catch you soon.
Probably catch you on the next City podcast.
Yeah, hopefully, mate. Hopefully. Take it easy, mate. Thank you again.
Cheers, Dave. Bye.
Cheers, buddy. Bye.
A work-life balance is hard to do while juggling a business and date nights too. But life goes on, so what baby we got? Now I'm trying to juggle work while feeding baby that bop. I deal with one dirty nappy and turn my back and hear 101 messages pinging through Slack. Sleep deprivation, you can see it in my eyes. As I hop on Google Meets, I hear the baby starts crying. So I mute and shout to mom, you okay in there, dear? She says, get on with your work, we'll be okay in here. I wash up the bottles around 8 or 9. By the time I'm in my office, sometimes it's lunchtime. Looked at my partner, said, one day I'll know how to juggle my new life as a successful daddy-o.